Most Australian parents vaccinate their children, but there's still a minority who choose not to. And those people can often face hostility from the broader community. We all want higher vaccination rates, but does shaming people get them to change their views? There hasn't been much research on this so far. Julie Leask wants to change that, though. She's a social scientist and professor at the School of Nursing and Midwifery at the University of Sydney. Julie, thanks for joining Life Matters.
Hi, Hilary.
Let's clarify one of the big issues first. Is there a difference between the anti-vax movement, per se, and parents who might just be a bit hesitant about vaccinating their children?
Yeah, there absolutely is. I mean, most people are very supportive of vaccination. There are a few who have some concerns. Then there are some parents who have a lot of concerns and they really deliberate about it. They might either fully vaccinate in the end, and sometimes they'll delay or select out certain vaccines, and we call them hesitant parents. And then there are parents we call the decliners, the parents who never did vaccinate their children or they've decided to stop vaccinating their children. And then there's this movement or, there are what we call anti-vaccination activists. And a few of those parents might be activists, but the majority, we've noted in our research, are just trying to get on with the job of parenting. They've made a choice that as public health professionals we may not agree with, but we're trying to figure out how best to work with those parents to create a more productive way forward.
So there's a tiny little dot at the top of the pyramid of vehemently opposed activists, and then everyone else falls into these different levels of gradations of hesitancy. How well does the broader community understand those distinctions?
Look, there's often a lack of differentiation between anti-vaccination activists and parents who don't vaccinate. And that's often because in the public discussion in the mass media, in sort of, social groups, you get people saying, I dislike anti-vaxxers and what they do, or the anti-vaxxers got on my Facebook wall and bombarded it with these messages. And the problem is that there are activists out there worldwide who are dedicated to dissuading people from vaccinating for whatever reason, whether it be financial, alternative approaches to health, professional, or people who have had something wrong go wrong with their child and are just sort of almost evangelical in their approach. But this creates a lot of the impression, I guess, because that small group is loud, creates the impression that people who don't vaccinate are the same, synonymous with anti-vaccination activists, and that creates problems in the broader discussion for vaccination programs, as other things as well.
Well, and there's that fascinating degrees of hesitancy, but there are also quite a wide range of reasons why people choose not to have their children vaccinated. I think you've touched on some of them, but could you go through them for people who might not be familiar with those? What have people said to you about why they choose not to?
Yeah, so there are the people who have actively chosen not to vaccinate. If you just briefly zoom out from that group, if you look at all the children who are under vaccinated, so have had no vaccines or aren't up to date with their vaccines, there are a big group, whose parents haven't been able to get to vaccination on time for a whole bunch of reasons, or whose providers have said, no, we need to delay this for a bunch of reasons. So we need to remember that there is the practical and logistical factor group. Now, when we're looking at non-vaccinating parents, the ones, as you say, who choose not to vaccinate their children or to only partially vaccinate, the overriding sort of manifest issue is vaccine safety. They are worried about the impact of vaccines on the bodies of their babies and children. Now, the way they come to that decision can vary. And, I'm working with a great team who are building trust with these parents to hear their stories. And if I could summarise the three major reasons why parents end up not vaccinating, crudely speaking, they would be that the parents have alternative approaches to parenting in general, and not vaccinating is just consistent with that particular alternative parenting approach. Then there are the parents who are simply very vigilant with everything. They're intensive about their parenting. They're intensive about every decision they make with their children. And sometimes the vaccination decision becomes this highly deliberated process. Then there's the parents who have had a bad experience. They may have been unquestioning acceptors of vaccination, or a bit hesitant, or even a little bit alternative, but something has happened to make them lose trust in the vaccination program, whether it be something that went wrong with the birth, or a disillusionment with excessive medical intervention during pregnancy, or whether it be something that happened after vaccination that may have not been managed so well, and they blame the problem that happened after vaccination on the vaccine.
Well, and that's a huge range of reasons that Julie Leask is listing. Let's drill down into what impact our attitudes have and what we tend to think of people who don't vaccinate. Tom Rosbroy is a researcher from Monash University. He's been looking at this issue. Tom, welcome to Life Matters.
Hi, Hilary. It's great to be here.
So from your research, what are the general attitudes towards the anti-vaccination movement by pro-vaccination people?
Sure. So there's a range of issues there. Some people might just be concerned about vaccine-refusing people, so they might be worried that they're a group that are going to negatively impact their children's health or their community's health. But I think also for many people, vaccine-refusing groups represent some broader issues. So in the research we've done, we can see that pro-vaccine people are often worried that vaccine-refusing people almost represent an anti-reason group or an anti-science group. And in many ways, they're worried about vaccine-refusing people not just as a vector for disease, but as a vector for these broader dangerous ideas, this kind of rejection of modern medicine.
So they're on the fringe, they're weird outsiders, that's our view.
Absolutely. And the really important thing here is that for the average person on the street, they can't understand why somebody would ever refuse vaccines. And that understanding leads them to almost rely on deficits to explain it away. So there must be something wrong with you to refuse vaccines.
So an intelligence deficit, an empathy deficit, something like that?
Yeah. And I think in this case, it's much, 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 much harder to be sympathetic because you can't understand the person. And you ascribe a lot of what you perceive as dangerous qualities to that person.
There is a difference between a negative perception and a stigmatizing perception, though, isn't there? I mean, you could argue that it's reasonable to have a negative perception of a behavior that raises the community's risk of disease. Where does the line fall? Do you think that we have stigmatizing perceptions of people or just negative ones?
I think it's a very blurry line. And certainly, I think we have some stigmatizing perceptions of vaccine-refusing people. And of course, the thing about stigma isn't about whether it doesn't, it's not really connected to truth or a sense of, is my opinion correct on this or not? It's about how you feel when people talk to you negatively and what impact that has on you.
So, Julie Leask, these parents who might be vaccine hesitant or refusing, that huge diversity you mentioned before from the tip of the pyramid with the anti-vax movement and to everyone else falling below, what do people think about how they're perceived by the community?
Well, the parents that we've spoken to in our research, many of them will talk about, being and sometimes even outcast by their peers if their vaccination decision comes up. Some of these parents will hide their decision about vaccination because they know of the reaction that it could cause among their peers. Others might sort of share their questioning of vaccination and get this big pile on online, even though they weren't really against vaccination. They were just sharing some questions. And we have definitely had experiences reported to us from parents, so this shunning, this sometimes being abused, sometimes having very negative experiences in the healthcare interface, having arguments with doctors and so forth. The experiences that they describe do amount to what's being described in the literature as stigmatisation. Now, you know, it's important to say we do want high vaccination rates. And so part of the goal in our research is to better understand how we can, A, treat people well and respectfully, because they're the values that we bring to the research in this field, but also to have a conversation with these parents that is productive, that may even work out a bit of a winnable plan with them, particularly in that healthcare encounter. But being aware of the stigmatisation they face is really important as a first start.
And Julie, is there much research done about whether being stigmatised tends to entrench people's beliefs or tends to make them reconsider those beliefs?
We certainly know that, you know, if you, in an experiment, if you tell someone, no, you absolutely have to vaccinate, then they become what's called reactant, and they dig down. There's also this, what we call the worldview backfire effect. So if someone has a strong view about something and you try to argue them out of that view, what can happen is that because they're already a bit entrenched in that view, that you start to enter into a debate with them rather than a discussion. And their rehearsal of their beliefs with you can actually further entrench their existing beliefs. So with non-vaccinating parents, if they've decided not to vaccinate and they've got this big, long story, a really bad experience that comes behind that decision, not taking the time to go through that and simply saying, look, you're wrong, it's really important you vaccinate, you can end up with this backfire effect where those parents become more isolated in their views.
Well, Tom Rosborough, let's look at the health sector in particular. Do you see these hostile attitudes functioning there as well as among family and friends?
So do you mean amongst healthcare professionals?
Yeah, when people who might be hesitant come to see a healthcare professional, do they encounter those hostile attitudes there as well?
I don't want to generalise here because obviously there's a lot of really wonderful doctors that are doing the right thing and having a great conversation with parents who might be hesitant or even refuse vaccines. And I know Julie's team at NCIRS are producing some really good resources for healthcare professionals to do that. At the same time, certainly in the research, we know that both in Australia and overseas, there is a percentage of healthcare professionals that will have quite negative conversations with those who might be hesitant about vaccines or refuse vaccines. And in a way, I think we shouldn't be too harsh on healthcare professionals that struggle to talk to people who refuse vaccines. I mean, for them, it must be very difficult to have a parent come in there and question their long medical training and question an evidence-based treatment. And in many cases, these healthcare professionals might have seen the impact of these vaccine-preventable diseases as well. So it's quite an emotional encounter for them. So on one level, it's quite understandable that they might have strong reactions themselves, and after all, they're only people just like the rest of us. On the other hand, certainly it's unhelpful.
And it's great to hear Julie clarify that, yes, we all want higher vaccination rates. What we're questioning today is whether antagonism is an approach that helps us reach that goal. Julie, how important is that first response from a health professional on a hesitant parent's attitudes towards vaccinating?
It's really powerful. You know, all of the research with parents and even their accounts, their personal accounts, shows that the encounter with a health professional about immunisation is often quite pivotal in which way they end up going when they're hesitant. And that's why we've developed talkingaboutimmunisation.org.au, which is a package of support mostly for healthcare professionals to support them in having these constructive discussions. And, you know, because we know these discussions are influential and because there's a fine line to walk here, we thought it was important to carefully look at how they're doing this well anyway. So we've learned over the years, we've observed really good communication between health professionals and hesitant parents. We've cherry-picked the best components of that, added a dash of science communication evidence as well, and come up with sharing knowledge about immunisation. And what we recommend here is that Before you jump into answering or correcting wrong thinking, say a parent comes to you and says, look, I'm worried about having the MMR vaccine because I've heard, about this sort of autism rumour, which has been thoroughly debunked. And the health profession might want to say just that. We call that the writing reflex, which is this reflexive desire to write wrong thinking straight away. And what we're suggesting is that if they signal that they're quite hesitant about vaccination, then elicit all of their questions and concerns until you hear no more. Briefly set an agenda, stick with the priority ones because time is short. And by then, because you've heard all of the possible questions and concerns, you can work with the parent on prioritising the ones to discuss. And that's when you need to resist that writing reflex. Once you have that agenda setting and then the discussion, work with their own motivation to vaccinate. So they may be worried about their child getting measles because there's a lot of outbreaks of measles at the moment, or meningococcal disease, or they're going overseas and they are revisiting their decision. And work with possible motivations to vaccinate, recommend vaccination because it's the evidence-based way to go. But just to do the timing and tone does differ if they're really hesitant parents.
And it's great that there are those resources for health professionals, but it's also wonderful to hear things that ordinary folk like us can use, as you mentioned, Julie, listening to concerns, acknowledging them, giving accurate information and using stories too to illustrate how important it is to vaccinate. I really appreciate your time today, Julie and Tom. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much. It was great to be here.
Thanks, Hilary.
Tom Rosbrough is a researcher at Monash University, specialising in understanding vaccine hesitancy. And Professor Julie Leask is a social scientist and professor at the School of Nursing and Midwifery at the University of Sydney. You're listening to Life Matters. You're on RN.